This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Hello and welcome to Amazing Grace for another week. My name is Warren, and today here at Amazing Grace we're going to share a number of things about the second coming. A lot of things happening in the world today, and people are confused. People want to know what's taking place, and so we're going to look at the second coming today especially. But just before we do that, we want to quickly remind you of our two free giveaways from the book Steps to Jesus, also from the book The Desire of Ages. We're happy to send those to you. And just for this month of November, we're also offering each week to one person, the first person to contact us, $20 cash. One of the reasons that I'm doing this is because as a survey, the people at the station have said for every one person that contacts, there's another 100 people listening. So it'd be quite interesting to know how many people are actually listening each week. So we're just going to work that on that theory of every one person that contacts us, there's 100 people listening. So obviously if no one contacts us, there's obviously less than 100. If we have two or three people contacting us, well, we know that we've got 200 or 300 people listening. So that's the plan for the month of November. And so if you hear this, if you contact us, be the first one in and we'll send you $20 cash. All right, with no strings attached, absolutely none. We just want to find out, and we want to give you a reason to contact us. And okay, so the ways that you can contact us are either by email, and the email address is 999amazinggrace@gmail.com. So that's 999 Amazing Grace, and Amazing Grace is only 1G, at gmail.com. Or you could text or call us on 027-229-6624. That's 027-229-6624. All right, friends, before we go any further, let's just pray. Father in heaven, we pray for those who are listening today. We pray, Lord, that you will give them an insight into what's happening in the world and what the Bible says about the things that are happening today. We also pray that as we share a devotional thought, we pray, Lord, that people will understand through the power of your Spirit. And pray that your Spirit may fall on our listeners and their families, helping them to come to know you better. And so, Lord, we just leave ourselves in your care, praying for your presence in our lives today, asking this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, friends, I'm just going to be looking at a little section in the Bible from John 6. And in John 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000 in the beginning of the chapter. Jesus walks on the sea. And then the people come seeking Jesus. And this is what Jesus says to the people. Jesus answered them in verse 26 of John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, and it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but I should raise him up on the last day. You know, and Jesus goes on and he talks quite a bit about the people accepting him as the Messiah. But there's a number of really interesting, points that Jesus makes here. And those points are, he says, do not labor for the food which perishes. And he's talking about physical food, because the people were impressed with Jesus when he fed 5,000 with five barley loaves and two fishes. And they were really impressed by that. But Jesus said, don't be impressed by that. Be impressed by spiritual food. Spiritual food does not decay. Spiritual food does not go moldy, but spiritual food gives everlasting life. Spiritual food lasts for eternity. And so we should seek that spiritual food that Jesus is offering, not only to the people of Israel in his day when Jesus was here on earth, but also he still offers that to us today. But it's interesting what the people said back to Jesus, and they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? See, they didn't understand spiritual food. They didn't understand faith. And they didn't understand the connection that they needed to have with Jesus. They thought that they needed to do something. Did you know that all the religions of the world, except Christianity, are based on doing something? And even in Christianity, unfortunately, there's a great number of people that somehow still believe that they can be saved by what they do. No person will get to heaven by your works. You will not get to heaven by your works. You get to heaven by how? By faith in the Son of God, or the faith in Jesus. Your trust must be in Jesus. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter, it says in Galatians 2:20 that we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that dwells in me. And I now live by the faith in the Son of God. I now live by the faith in the Son of God. My faith is not in myself. It is not in my job. It is not in anything about me. But my faith is in Jesus Christ and what he can do in my life. And, you know, that's why Jesus answered to the Jewish people and said, when they said, what shall we do to the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me. Now, is believing works? Absolutely not. Belief is faith is in trusting, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, whom you can't see. But I can tell you, while you may not be able to see him physically, spiritually, you can experience Jesus Christ. And I promise you that you can, because I know. Why do I know? Because Jesus Christ is evident in my life, and he speaks to me, he impresses me, he works in my life every day. And that's what Jesus will do for you too, friend. If you will believe in him and put your faith and trust in him, not in yourself, not in anything you can do. You know, it says, the Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith in Hebrews. Now, he's the start of our salvation, and he's the end of our salvation, and we have no part in that. Now, you might say, well, don't I have to accept? Don't I have to believe? Yes, but there's no merit in that. There's no merit in that. The only merit is in what Christ can do for you. Believe in him, and I promise you, your life will never be the same again. And as I said to you before, how can I be so sure? Well, you know, because my life is completely changed. And, you know, I wasn't a goody two-shoes growing up. I grew up in the church, and all I went to church for was to meet my friends and maybe to meet a nice, attractive lady. You know, I never went to church to meet God, and so I drifted away from God, and for 25 years I had nothing to do with God. But when I came back to the Lord, it was through his doing. He called me out of darkness into the marvelous light. And I can honestly say there is nothing in the world that compares. There is nothing in the world that compares with knowing Jesus Christ. Again, how can I be so sure? Because I've been on both sides of the fence. In fact, I've been on the Christian side where I didn't know Christ. And it's just hollow. There's nothing in it. But if you're a Christian and you know Jesus Christ, my goodness, what a difference that makes. He fills your life with joy, with peace, with love, and every other fruit of the Spirit. And I just would like to challenge you, encourage you to get to know Jesus. And how can you do that? Well, you can do that every day. In prayer, talk to him. But you know, if you do give Jesus an opportunity, he'll speak back to you. Again, how do I know? Because Jesus has done it for me. He doesn't do it every day in every way, but Jesus also speaks to us through the Word, through the Bible. Many people read the Bible just for information or for knowledge, and there is an application for that. But the biggest application for reading the Bible is to get to know Jesus, because you see, Jesus is the Word of God. He is the truth, the life, and the way. And I promise you, if you get to know Jesus, you will be so happy, so joyful, that nothing this world can give you can compare with that.
When your heart is heavy laden, feeling like the joy is fading, just come. Come. Believing everything I told you, here are arms that long to hold you, just come. Behind the mask you're hiding, here is someone to confide in. I know what you've done. Come and tell me everything you're hoping. The Father loves a heart that's open. Just come. So you could try to save yourself. I know who you are, darling. somebody else. Come, believe in everything I told you. Here are arms that long to hold you. Just come. Come into the joy of living, knowing that your sin's forgiven. Just come. Why didn't I so you could try to save? You are, don't try to be somebody else. Come when your heart is heavy laden, feeling like the joy is faded. Won't you come? Come, come into the joy of living. Knowing that your sin's forgiven, just
You're listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. Beautiful song, Come. It is a song about Jesus calling to us just to come as we are. And it's so true. We just come as we are. We don't have to clean ourselves up to come to Jesus. Just come as you are. He will help to clean you up. And he will do it with love. All right, friends, we've come to the health tip of the week, and today we're going to look at water. We haven't looked at water for a while. So we just want to give you some tips about staying hydrated. You know, one of the things that is really important and good to do is drink a glass of water first thing in the morning. Starting first thing in the morning can help you get your metabolism running and give you an energizing effect. Certain people should exercise caution with fluid intake directly before bedtime. Those with nocturnal urination or heartburn issues can be harmed by a big glass of water right before laying down. And that's true. So, you know, what I have done is had two glasses of water in the morning. I have a glass of water always before I have a shower. And why do I do that? To stop the effects of a stroke. Because you see, the water thins your blood down naturally. And, you know, quite often when people can have a stroke in the shower because the hot water or the warm water on your body, it thickens up your blood and gets harder to pump. And, you know, so if you've got any areas of your body that there are buildups in your blood vessels, you know, you can end up with a blockage. And so that's why it's good to have a glass of water before you have a shower, when you get up in the morning, before you go to bed, and also before you have a meal. So, you know, it's not too hard to work out. If you have, say, two glasses of water in the morning, you can have one, but I tend to have two in the morning because that actually helps me to get ahead of the curve. Because I do struggle to drink water. Invest in a fun or fancy water bottle. That's an important thing to do. So you make drinking water fun. Some people use alarms or notifications to drink. But, you know, when you start to feel thirsty, it's a sign that your kidneys are starting to run out of liquid, and your organs are starting to tell you it's time to drink some water. Also, try drinking, instead of drinking sweet, sugary drinks, drink water. Now, one of the things that I do is on my bottle of water that I take to work each day, I just put some lime juice in it. I use Roses, but you can use Schweppes. It's just Schweppes has a little bit more sugar in it. But it, you just put a, you don't put much in. You just put a little bit in of the lime juice in it. You can even use lemons. Some people actually use lemons. My wife does. But what I tend to use is a little bit of lime juice in it. Just gives it a splash of taste, and it makes it easier for me to drink. And I can drink, you know, a liter of water in a day, no trouble at all. Check the colour of your urine. Some people check the colour of their urine throughout the day to ensure it's clear and light coloured. Dark yellow urine might be a sign of dehydration for some people. Set a daily goal and you know how many glasses of water that you want to drink, and start by maintaining a healthy habit. You know how many times you have to do something to form a bad habit? Once. You know how many times you need to do it for a minimum of 30 days? Some people say 60 and some people say 90 days to form a good habit. But you need to do it for a while. So remember, drink when you get up, before you have a shower. I tend to have half a glass of water, probably half an hour before I go to bed. It's another place that people tend to have strokes is in bed. And so one of the ways to avoid that, natural ways, is to drink water, you know. And my problem is if I drink too much water, I end up getting up in the, you know, in the night. And sometimes it can be more than once, so it does become a little aggravating. So I try to drink, you know, water at least half an hour to an hour before I go to bed. And for me, I just drink half a glass. So, you know, there are many things that we can do to improve our health, and drinking water at the right time throughout the day. And I pray that it's been a blessing for you.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. Love, our hearts can feel can share.
Enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information.
Welcome back to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. Okay, in the second half of our program, we want to look at the second coming. It's a really important subject, obviously, and I want to just draw your attention to Matthew 24, and it's just going to be where I'm taking the reading from today. So leading up to Matthew 24, the disciples had been boasting about how beautiful, as they were looking on the Mount of Olives, they were looking down over the temple and they could see the gold that was in between the stones glistening. And on the sunshine, it just looked beautiful sight. And anyway, Jesus responds to them in verse 2 and says, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that really threw the disciples. And so they said to the Lord, well, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. So they asked Jesus a lot of questions. Now, he gave them all the answers, but some of the answers were to different parts of their questions, and at that particular time they didn't know that. But anyway, Jesus starts off by saying, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. So do we see that happening today? There are a few people around the world who call themselves the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. There's a man named A.J. Hackett in Australia, in central Queensland. He runs a spa, and he says that he is Jesus Christ incarnate. And it's interesting that he said his wife is Mary Magdalene. Anyway, there's another man in the Philippines, Ki Bolo, and he has a number of, in fact, he has millions of people that follow him. He's quite wealthy. He has his own private jet, helicopter, radio, and TV station. So he does very well. And he says that he's Jesus Christ come back to earth in human form. There's a man named Jose Maria, I just can't remember his surname, but he was from Puerto Rico, and he lives in Mexico and also in Texas in the United States. And most of the people that follow him either live in Texas or they live in Mexico. And he also has his own private jet. He has his own TV station. And so a number of these men are quite famous, and you'd only have to Google false Christ or, you know, their names, and you would find out that what I'm sharing with you is actually correct. And there are a number of people, but it says, for many will come in my name. And many means a lot. It means most. And so I'm the Christ and will deceive many. Well, that hasn't happened yet. However, the next verse, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So, do we see many wars? We do. Are there many rumors of wars? Well, I wondered as a kid what that meant. But, you know, we do hear about this. We hear countries threatening other countries that they will either bomb them, nuke them, or they will overtake them. And we see in China, we see a lot of that happening. We see in a number of African countries, we see that happening. We see, to start with, this was what was happening between Russia and Ukraine. And finally, it went from talking and threatening to actually happening. And that's usually how it goes, but not always. There are times where God intervenes and brings people back to their senses. So war definitely and rumors of wars is definitely a sign, and we see plenty of that today. Famines, not so much right at the moment, but we have seen famines throughout the world. Pestilences, now this is something that we can really get our teeth into because, you know, coronavirus was definitely a pestilence, and it definitely brought havoc to the world that we live in. And a lot of negative things happened during COVID, and that's what it's talking about here. But it doesn't say a pestilence, and it says pestilences, so it's plural. So obviously the coronavirus, COVID-19, isn't the end of viruses, that there will be more viruses coming. We just don't know when and how many. There'll be earthquakes in various places. Well, you know, even though there's been some pretty big earthquakes around the world, we don't see many of them happening like regularly, like monthly or weekly. We tend to see them happening, you know, quarterly or six-monthly. We see big ones. But, you know, there certainly has been a number of them around the world recently, but not doing major damage. I remember back in 2011, 12, and 13, we had lots of earthquakes and tsunamis. But that sort of died down a little bit. But that will come again. Because it says here in verse 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. And so that's where we are, friends. We're at the beginning of the time of sorrows. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you and will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And, you know, we see that to some degree in the world that we live in. We see that a number of Christians are being persecuted around the world. Maybe not here in New Zealand, but certainly around the world, there are a number of people who are being persecuted. Do we see many false prophets? Well, there are some, and if you watch YouTube, you will be bound to find them very quickly. You know, the Bible says that if a prophet predicts something and it doesn't come true, that you shouldn't actually take any notice of any more that prophet has to say, because they are not speaking for God, but they are speaking for themselves. And so if a prophet of God speaks, then what will happen? Exactly what they've said will come to pass. So we don't see many false prophets, so we know that is still in the future. It also says that the gospel will be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So has the gospel gone to the whole world? Well, not quite, but certainly it's in the process of going to the whole world. And very soon Jesus will stand up and say, it is finished. Okay, so when we look at the Bible and what it says in verse 19, well, let's go back to verse 17. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Yep, so here he was talking more about the destruction of Jerusalem, but he sort of mixed that in with the second coming. And then he says, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. So Jesus was praying for his people that this would happen at a timely time and it wouldn't happen on the Sabbath. And then Jesus went on to say in verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Okay, saying that if God didn't shorten the time period of the earth, that many true believers would actually die because of the things that are coming on the world. And we know that, you know, there's enough nuclear weapons to destroy this world. I don't know how many times it is. It's more than 100 times. We have enough nuclear weapons to do that. Okay, so we're just going to look at verse 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the power of the heavens will be shaken, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto the other. All right, so before Jesus returns, there will be a great tribulation. It says that the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. We know that this all happened in the late 1700s in the United States, but we also believe that there may be a global effect where all these things may be reproduced, but this time not just for a church but for a worldwide church. And pray that that we be ready. You know, Jesus went on to say in verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. All right, so we see that the wickedness upon the world is going to be so, it's going to be like it was before the flood, where it says in Genesis chapter 6 that the thoughts of men's hearts were evil continually. Now, is it at that level today? No, I wouldn't say it is. It's certainly heading in that direction. You know, people seem to have a lot less empathy for each other. But no, we don't see men's hearts evil. We see still a lot of good in the world that we live in. You see, you have to take all of what Matthew 24 or all of what Jesus says in Matthew 24, Luke 17 and 21, and Mark 13. And you have to take all of what it says, not just pick out parts that, you know, if you want to think that Jesus is coming next year or next week or whenever it is, and pull out a part and say, look, it's going to be all these wars. Well, you know, there is lots of wars at the moment, but there's not many earthquakes, not big ones. There's not that many false prophets. There's no false Christ. And so as we look at that, we know that there is still more time to go. And praise the Lord, because, you know, family members and friends, we want to see them all saved. And God, the Bible says that God wants everyone to be saved. And that's what all heaven is doing, trying to work in a way that will enable people to be saved. You know, in verse 44 it says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And that's, you know, for those people that are spiritual, they will know when the time of Jesus is coming, because they will see the things, the Holy Spirit will speak to them, and the things that are written in the Bible will start to make more sense to them. And so only if we are not following the Lord will the Lord come as a thief. And so an important thing for us to do is to form a relationship with Jesus Christ today. Friend, that is today, and today means today, not tomorrow, not the next day. Don't put it off, because whatever you put off, you probably won't end up doing. You're listening to Amazing Grace here on Manawatu People's Radio. Okay, just in our last half of our segment, we're going to look at another aspect. And I'm just going to read from Luke chapter 17. It talked about Noah. We read about Noah before, but it also talks about Lot. Okay. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. It means at the end of time. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So, it's talking about the days of Noah, about people being evil continually, the thoughts of their heart being evil. They can only think about evil things. And also, so what was prevalent in the days of Lot? He lived in a city called Sodom. Sodom, and we know that the Bible talks about Sodom and Gomorrah receiving vengeance or judgment from God. And the Bible says that it rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and the small towns around them. So what was prevalent? It was homosexuality. The people of Sodom, most of the men were married and had wives, but they also had casual sex with other men. And it was just accepted as part of life. But today, you know, we see that that's becoming rampant throughout the world. So we know that that is a sign of the return of Jesus Christ. But remember, it's got to get a lot worse than what it is today. You know, we're only at the start, at the beginning of the time of sorrows. And, you know, people's hearts are not evil continually. Now, there is I'm going to finish on this particular point because it will, but I'm going to tell you much more about this next time we meet. But I just wanted to leave this with you. You know, it says there that there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. This is in Matthew 24:40. One will be taken and the other left. And it does talk about this in Luke 17 as well. It says, "Watch therefore, you do not know which hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect." So if you're not ready, friends, if you haven't formed this relationship with Jesus Christ, you will be surprised and you will not see all of these things happening. And to be honest with you, we need to read the word so that we won't be deceived, because, you know, right throughout Matthew 24, Luke 17 and 21 and Mark 13, it talks about not being deceived so many times. Deception is going to be so rampant. Now, some people believe in this second chance. They believe that there is going to be a rapture, a secret rapture, and people are going to be raptured away. And they use these verses in Matthew 24, verse 40, where it says, "Two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left." Now, the problem that we have with this understanding, the left behind theory, which was made famous by a man who wrote a book about it. And the problem is that when the people are taken, it doesn't mean taken to heaven. They were taken to perdition. They were taken to judgment. The ones that are taken are not taken to heaven. And throughout the Bible, whenever God takes people. He does not take them to heaven, but he takes them to judgment for what they have done wrong. And next week, we're going to look at this much deeper. I don't have time today. We've run out of time. But I will show you throughout the different aspects of the Bible how you can be sure that that is not referring to the secret rapture, because the secret rapture wasn't even believed until probably about 300 years ago. Before that, there was no such thing as a secret rapture. But I can prove to you from the Bible that these verses, which are used to prove the secret rapture, are a figment of people's imagination. And you will not see the secret rapture happen before Jesus Christ returns. But one thing I do like about the people thinking the secret rapture, they're going to be ready. And you should be ready today, friends. We need to be ready, not for the secret rapture, but we need to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay, friends, as we come to the end of our time, which we always do, unfortunately, we pray that you've been blessed by our program today, and we look forward to sharing more on the second coming next week, because I know a number of people have lots of questions about the second coming. So remember that we read all these things. There are not many false Christs. There are a number of false prophets, but not many. We don't have many earthquakes, but we have lots of wars. And so we are not seeing the full maturity of everything Matthew 24 talks about happening just yet. But now is the time, friends. Now is the time to get to know Jesus. Now is the time of peace in New Zealand. It will not stay this way. It will not stay peaceful. I can promise you that things are going to come upon the world in New Zealand where you are not going to struggle to form a relationship with Jesus when everything in this world is going crazy and haywire. But today is a time of peace, and Jesus and the Father are giving you time to get to know them. All you need to do, I mean, you don't have to do anything, just ask Jesus to come into your life, and he will. Get a Bible, start reading it, start praying, and God will lead you from there. Don't start in the Old Testament. I started in the book of John when someone challenged me. But, you know, start in the New Testament. Read your way through the New Testament. You will be so blessed. And you start talking to the Lord in prayer, he will start answering you. I had a friend from Vietnam who just wasn't sure if there was a God or not. He went outside one night and said, "God, if you exist, show yourself to me." And within 6 weeks, that man had become a Christian, and his life was changed forever. And your life can be changed forever too. Okay, let's finish with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to read your word, and I just pray that your people today have been blessed by what has been shared. We just thank you for all that you do, praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. So from all of us here at Amazing Grace, we pray that you will grow in grace. May the love of the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.